steps to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, all the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday, May 15th, 2026. I will not be here next week. So Monday through Friday of next week. So that would be May 18th through May 22nd. I will not be broadcasting live in this studio as I am beginning my transition to work for the Milwaukee Black Media Trust, which I'm sure some of you have been made aware of. 1017 The Truth was purchased by the Black Media Trust, and we will be under the umbrella with WNOV 860 AM and 106.5 FM and the Milwaukee Courier newspaper. Now, here's where it gets slightly confusing, and I want to clear this up. We will still be broadcasting from this studio until new and suitable space will be found. I would love to give you the details of the lineup, the rundown of the hosts and the shows, but I can't because it's still a fluid situation. So you're not going to see me here in this studio next week, but I will be broadcasting from my YouTube channel, which is Hughes Views 414. I'm basically using my last vacation days that I have here with GKB because come May 26th, which is a Tuesday, I will no longer be a Good Karma Brands employee. I will be, God willing, an employee of the Milwaukee Black Media Trust. So I'm taking my vacation time, and there's a whole bunch of things that I want to get sorted out and squared away, and time off is always good. Got some work that I want to do that I often and typically can't get done in the mornings because I am involved in a few other professional endeavors. I'm going to hold some meetings. I'm going to attend some meetings. There's some strategy sessions. I got to try and figure out the direction for us as a community, as a city, how we're going to move into these midterm elections. So meeting with a bunch of people and going to spend some time with my mother, might shoot up to Appleton to my absolute favorite Italian restaurant called Victoria's. If you ever hear me say that I'm going to Victoria's, I'm probably not talking about a woman. I'm talking about the finest Italian restaurant that I believe is on this side of the Mediterranean Sea. So, no, I will not be here next week, but I will likely broadcast from my YouTube channel just to kind of keep people abreast of what's going on. And also, by next week, I'm hoping that we will have more details on what our lineup is going to look like. Here's the thing. We're still going to be 1017 The Truth. We're still going to be here in this studio, but we're going to be working for a different company. So once we actually get into the flow of it's going to look different. I'm going to tell you that right now. And the radio station is going to sound different. Not better or worse, but I think it's going to reflect the new ownership and the new branding. And I'm going to try and go into this thing as optimistically as I possibly can. That's the only thing that I can do to make sure that things go and transition smoothly. And I guess that's all we can hope for. I did a couple of segments on our morning show with Homer and Dame Elsie to also let folks know that listen to that program, that this will be my last week here. I think Dame announced when his last day was. You're going to start hearing from individual hosts. I don't want to jump the gun. I want to let them tell you on their time when their last days as Good Karma Brands employees will be. I think I may have jumped the gun a little bit. Well, Tori said his goodbye like a week ago, so he might have jumped the gun on himself. But I think there's other information and some new additions that you're going to hear as well. So I'm trying to be optimistic about it, but, you know, change is one of those things. It's inevitable and it's always inconvenient. When we first started our first launch of 101.7 The Truth, we were in a different building in a different part of town and had no idea how this thing would even work. Of the people that were here at Good Karma Brands 101.7 The Truth, broadcasting from East Capitol Drive, the only individuals that are, as far as on-air hosts, the only folks that were there on that very first day, January 4th, 2021, that are still here today is just me and Tori. So Dr. Ken, if you guys recall, wasn't here the first 2 weeks of our launch. Our morning show then was 3 hours. We have a 2-hour morning show now. But those hosts were Joe Brown and Melanie Ricks. They were from 7 until 10 a.m. I was 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Tori Lowe was 1 to 4, and Dr. Ken was 4 to 6. So in all of the changes, and you guys have heard different people and different hosts, there's been different shows, there's been different producers. The only folks whose time slots have stayed the same have been Tori and Dr. Ken, because I was 10 to 1, and we used to have a morning show that was 3 hours. So they took an hour off of the morning show. So then the morning show went from 7 until 9. Then I started an hour earlier from 9 until noon. And then that hour that we took off the morning show created what is now Truth to Power with Kyle Wallace. So we've had some changes. All in all, the run with Good Karma Brands has been eventful, to say the least. Not necessarily bad, not good, just new. The thing about working in this business is someone's going to buy, someone's going to sell, someone's going to be here today, gone tomorrow. That's just what it is. And here's the problem with it, and why I think it gets more difficult the longer you are involved in this business, whether it's media here or media somewhere else. Like if you look at even our television broadcasters, whoever is on channel 4, 6, 12, and 58, say doing the morning television news, 3 years ago, it was all different people. It was all different anchors. 5 years ago, it was all different anchors. And I know that because our sister station, TMJ 620, they have hired at least four television anchors that went from broadcasting morning and afternoon news on TV, and they now have made the way over to radio. A little insider information here. You can make way more money doing radio than you can TV, but don't tell anybody that I told you that. The change is pretty consistent. The problem is just when things are going okay, You know, you may have a flow and a rhythm to your show and all the other hosts. Everybody is clicking. Things are getting along and everything is just normal. It's stable. It's predictable because that is something I attempt sometimes with varying results to provide to the people who choose to listen to me, who choose to listen to us. It's be consistent. Be here as many days as you possibly can. Start on time every single day and provide consistent, reliable information and editorial and thoughtful commentary. And just when things are going consistently, boom, there's a sale, there's a merger, there's a personnel change. And that's what gets a little harder to get used to as you get older, because I'm an old man now. I don't like all these changes. I don't like nothing switching up on me. I want something to be regular and consistent, almost to the point where it's damn near boring. But at least we have that predictable, consistent, boring thing because the rest of the world is spinning out of control. So not here next week. I will be back in this studio, assuming everything goes okay. Like so many things are changing, ladies and gentlemen, from one moment to the next. We're getting new information about this and about that. So it's a very fluid situation. But with the understanding that I have currently, I will be back in this studio on Tuesday, May 26th, as Monday, May 25th is Memorial Day. So, but in the interim, I'll be broadcasting from my YouTube channel, which is Hughes Views 414. I probably will not be doing a 3-hour show every day, but I will try to come on at 9 a.m. and do, I don't know, an hour, half hour. We'll see how it goes. And what I'll do over there is I will keep people up to date and informed on what the new Black Media Trust is going to provide. And I really do hope that we do that. We provide. We provide information. We provide news. We answer questions. And with the information that we provide you, I want us to all be able to move forward in a very positive direction. So I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I want to refer to a comment that Linda, yeah, that Linda, Miss Shaq, that lady that when she calls in, she makes the entire city think that we're dating. You know, that lady. She posted a comment in our Facebook group because we have a Facebook group that corresponds to this broadcast. It's also Hughes Views 414 on Facebook. And the question, or I guess the statement that she proposed, is one that I hear all of the time. And it's concerning the African-American community, and maybe it's the high rates of poverty or the low rates of employment. And there's always a real quick response to that. You'll hear somebody say, this is what we need in the Black community. We need high paying jobs. We need affordable health care, whatever the case may be. And those things don't happen. And when we come up with a very simple, you know, request of what we need to make the computer community better, stronger, safer, those requests are not answered. And then we blame it on the elected officials. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break, like I said before. Come back, read Linda's comment, and I want to give you more details as to why what we think we need and what we want and what we desire for a better community just doesn't ever come to fruition, no matter how many times you ask for it. Ta. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let me tell you, this new Chris Brown album, fire. I'm about 19 tracks into the 27 track album. I have not heard a bad song yet. This is that old school fall in love, be in love, make love, 90s flavored R&B that I think the music industry and the world needs right now. Aside from whatever personal shortcomings Breezy may have, that don't make no difference to me. I'm not all up in that man's personal life. I don't care what he got going on. I ain't got nothing to do with me. I like the man's music, and I have since he first burst onto the scene in the early 2000s. So the album, titled Brown, is available everywhere. I will be listening to it continuously on my rotation via Spotify. We're going to talk about the data center, which really isn't a data center. I think people ran with a frightening narrative and got a whole bunch of people scared. It's not there's the thing that they're building or potentially building at in the Walmart area at Midtown is 46,000 square feet. And it's just like it's not an AI. It's a data storage place. Like a bunch of servers, and it doesn't run. It's not going to take all the water. It runs on regular roof-mounted AC units, and it's only 46,000 square feet. So it is not the boogeyman of AI data centers, which we should have known anyway, because AI data centers are typically built much closer to large bodies of water. In fact, Pottawatomie has something very similar on 31st and Highland, and nobody even cares. There's like two dozen of these things that exist in southeastern Wisconsin. So these are not AI data centers because businesses and companies, they need places like servers where they store all their secure information, transaction information, security camera footage. I'm thinking it's going to be something like this, but everybody is just so paranoid nowadays that the worst possible thing is always going to happen at any moment. And I totally get why people feel like that. This has become an exceptionally unpredictable world. And speaking of such, our YouTube poll of the day. Do you believe that Donald Trump is going to interfere with the midterm elections based on what you know, what you think, and how you feel? Keeping in mind that the FBI showed up at a Milwaukee County election official's office to inquire about what? The 2020 election. Now, let's not fall for the banana in the tailpipe. The 2020 election has not only been litigated exhaustively, the person that was elected in November of 2020 served a full uninterrupted 4-year term, and they are no longer in office. So let's just say, let me humor you for a moment and say, yep. Joe Biden stole the 2020 election, and I'm basing that off of the fact that the people that believe that are dumb, don't know how mail works, and also don't know math, which, as far-fetched as that may sound, actually might be the case. Have you seen some of the statistics of the children coming out of public school systems nowadays? They don't know math. They really don't. They legitimately don't know simple math. So anyways, the 2020 election has come, it's gone. The person that served is no longer in office. And so even if there was fraud, like what are you going to do? Say that Joe Biden wasn't president for 4 years? It's insane. They are trying to intimidate people. That's exactly what this is. And so knowing some of the strategies that the Trump administration is going to do to scare people from voting, do you think that they will take it a step further? I know this much. I'm undeterred. I dare them to come to my polling location. Well, let me take that back. Because the last time I tried to vote, we voted in April for the state Supreme Court race. My polling location wasn't even open. So that was a problem. It opened eventually. It was just late. I am more concerned about our local Milwaukee city government, them executing the election without a hitch. I'm not worried about dude. I really am not. I've known white men like him my whole life. He's not new. And to some people that are listening, you're married to a Trump. To some of y'all, Trump is your uncle. Or a very familiar commodity in your life. So I'm not scared of you, but I am concerned that there are some people who could potentially be intimidated. So let me table that for a second. Let me bring things back home to the city of Milwaukee and some of the despair that we see. We are an exceptionally poor community. We're a poor city. We're definitely in the top 10 when it comes to the poorest cities in the country. we can attribute a whole bunch of factors to that. What we used to be when we were one of the wealthiest and largest cities in the country, that manufacturing core, it's gone and it wasn't really replaced adequately. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that, too. And I'm not just going to oversimplify it and say, oh, a whole bunch of people are racist. When we had jobs, when we had money, when we had safe communities, people were, I would argue, even more racist then. Y'all may think that they're more racist now. No, there's more laws on the books that protect from some of the worst impulses of racism. Back then, there was no laws, and we still found a way to be reasonably successful. But what the American economy, what it was at one point in time, it is not that anymore. How we got the American economy to where there was awful governance, because we've always had lackluster elected officials, but people were gainfully employed, making decent wages. And it wasn't, the wages back then weren't because the government said, no, you're going to pay all these factory workers in Milwaukee in 1962, $6 an hour. No, it had nothing to do with that. War was the reason why cities like Milwaukee were so incredibly successful, at least when it comes to employment. Now, housing and housing segregation and denying people mortgages in suburban communities, that's different. But, you know, I don't even know if that was the biggest priority for most of our community. It only became a priority or a problem when we couldn't live and rent where we wanted to because Milwaukee was starting to get very crowded. I don't know what the population of this city is, because since I started this broadcast this morning, I'm sure somebody else has moved out. 593,000 people. The city of Milwaukee used to have almost 750,000 people. I don't even know where 750,000 people would fit in this city right now, because right now it seems quite crowded. But we have lost like 200,000 people in population. Milwaukee at one point in time was the 11th largest city in the country. That don't even make no damn sense. Most of Western Europe was destroyed during World War II, and two cities in Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, were literally glowing in the dark because we dropped that hot one on them. Okay? They weren't producing anything. Where the world was producing a lots of its finished goods, those nations were destroyed. The United States manufacturing infrastructure was completely intact. So if anybody needed anything made, built, assembled, or manufactured, they got it from us. And not just us, the United States, they got it from industrial plants in Chicago, in Milwaukee. If you needed a car, Detroit used to have 40 different car companies, because they had to produce vehicles damn near for the entire world. All that is gone. When Europe started to rebuild and the fallouts and radioactive particles settled in Japan, they started manufacturing again with newer equipment because they had to rebuild everything. So now there's global competition. And then, of course, Americans favor lower prices. So if we can buy the foreign made good for cheaper, absolutely. There's a period of time where if you drove a Japanese car, it was an embarrassment and people would make fun of you. Kind of like if you drive a certain American car now, a Tesla. And yes, the Tesla is an American car. A Tesla is more American than your Ford or your Chevy. Them things is made in the Mexicos and the Canadas. Nobody drove foreign cars. I bet half of you listening right now either own or have owned a Hyundai, a Kia, a Subaru, a Toyota, BMW, Audi, et cetera, et cetera. That is why war is good economics. If there's another country that's producing a lot of things, producing a lot of goods, all you got to do is take out their ability to produce, and they won't be able to offer finished goods on the market. Right now, that would be China. China's got a huge workforce. But we can't bomb it because China has nuclear weapons. So the reason why we had such a fantastic economy, especially in Milwaukee, why we had so many jobs, why so many black men were gainfully employed, is because the world was getting its manufactured goods and its beer from us, like two or three of the largest breweries, either in America or on the planet. We're right here in Milwaukee. All that stuff is gone now because the world and the economy changed. And so here's what I often hear, and this is, relates to the comment that Linda posted in our Facebook group, Hughes Views. We need to bring those jobs back. We need high paying jobs. And I don't disagree with that, but here's the problem. People have been saying that for a very long time, since deindustrialization. The community, the voters, everyone has been saying we need to bring these manufacturing jobs back to Milwaukee. That premise on its face is outdated. It's too expensive to manufacture anything with American labor. And whatever that thing is that is manufactured with American labor, it is going to be more expensive than something that is manufactured overseas where they pay people a hell of a lot less. And you can't just sell something because it's American made. The American made six pack of tube socks might cost $15.99. The foreign made six pack of tube socks may cost $2.99. Very few people are going to say, you know what, let me spend, I don't know, 500% more on these American made tube socks because I'm going to help keep my fellow Americans employed and make sure they have good benefits and make sure they have fantastic wages. Ain't nobody doing that. You know that. Just like having an American flag on a product is not a selling point. The same way that, oh, I'm a black owned business. That's not a selling point either. Quite honestly, I wish y'all would stop leaning on that. Be a good business that has good quality, good price and good service. And really nobody cares the race of the owner. I wish we could kind of start moving in that direction. Linda says it's a hard call for Black Milwaukee when our communities need economic recovery and growth, starting with solid, high-paying, futuristic jobs that covers the basic necessities to live. I don't disagree with that. Here's the problem. Do you know what kind of skill set you have to have in this modern day and age? Do you know the education that you have to have and the hard skills and the soft skills that you have to have? No employer, none, that could offer the kind of jobs. And Linda's not the only one that thinks this way. I've heard this comment. I get it once a week. Sherwin, we need better jobs here. We need high-paying jobs. I don't disagree with that. We don't have the workforce. And I'm just trying to make people understand, if you have a public school system that is churning out people that can't read and can't do proficient math, exactly how far do you think they're going to go in the professional world? You got to be realistic about that. But what will happen is this. Milwaukee will make a deal. We'll give away some land. We'll use tax incremental financing. A company will come here. A business will come here. Maybe they locate in the outskirts of the city. Maybe they locate somewhere downtown. And they will be looking for people that they can pay really high wages, 50, 60, 70, 80, six-figure incomes. Absolutely fantastic benefits, great retirement plan. Those jobs will come because if the economy dictates that those kinds of companies and employers can expand, I promise you they will. They're just not going to be able to hire us. And so when we ask for those jobs, they're going to come whether you ask for them or not, because the overall economy is going to dictate what companies and what corporations can expand. And why not expand in Milwaukee? Beautiful place, near a lake, near Chicago. Winters aren't exactly perfect. Real estate is relatively cheap, great place to locate, right? Our taxes may be high, but they're a hell of a lot lower than, say, California, New York, or even Illinois. Why not? The jobs will come. The companies will come. The corporations will come. They'll hire, but the people that they employ will not be from here. They'll be from elsewhere. They'll be from surrounding areas and surrounding suburbs. Basically, gentrification is on a platter. Because if we don't have the education and the skill set needed for 21st century jobs, and I'm going to give you some details of what those skill sets are so you have an actual reference of how far behind most people in our community are. We can ask for the jobs will come, but we will not be qualified to get those jobs because the skill sets those jobs need, and they're going to pay you good, that's the thing. They're going to pay you real good, but we don't have the skill set. But somebody who lives elsewhere in a different county, maybe in Washington County or Dodge County or Waukesha County or Ozaukee County, and God forbid, Racine. I need, you know what? Racine people, you need to get different license plates so I can identify you. It's not fair that you just have a regular Wisconsin license plate. You know how I feel about you. got an inbox message. They're trying to get me to host a housing fair, some event in Racine. Sound like a setup to me. I think I'm going to be Charlie Kirk if I do that damn thing the way I talk about Racine. I don't know why they want to invite me to be at their housing fair, housing resource fair. I don't know what y'all trying to do to me. People from elsewhere will take the jobs that will be created in Milwaukee, and then eventually they're going to move from elsewhere to here. And they're going to buy houses. And they're going to pay market rate for those houses. And that's going to drive up the cost of real estate all over the city. And then your property taxes are going to go up because the overall value of the property in Milwaukee is going to go up. And people that have owned their homes for 30 years and 40 years and 50 years who are on fixed incomes who can't afford even the slightest property tax increase will get displaced. And that's going to put more houses on the market. So we got to be careful. When we ask for the high-tech futuristic jobs to come, oh, they'll come. We won't necessarily be qualified to get them. Somebody else will fill those jobs, and then they're going to move here and push the rest of us out. And so if we want those kinds of jobs, which I think would be a fair thing to request, you also can't be afraid of data centers coming in because we can't be stuck in some old-school 20th century simplistic idea of employment that's never coming back. Who wants to work in a factory? Even when people worked in factories, wasn't nobody going to work every morning? Oh my God, I love going to the factory. Nobody liked that kind of work. I'm take break. Come back. I'm going to provide the skill set that is needed to take advantage of not just jobs right now. Because screw right now, I'm talking about in the coming decade. And where our school system is failing, it's not just in the output, because that's a complicated formula as well, just blaming the school system. It's a lot more than that. If we know what the skill sets are, and we do, for what people are going to need to be gainfully employed in the decades to come, that is the curriculum that needs to be in the schools. Otherwise, what are we training these kids for? Milwaukee used to be really, really good at preparing MPS students for the jobs and economic opportunities that were available in the city of Milwaukee. When you had a Bradley Tech High School, that's because we had all these trade jobs and manufacturing jobs right here in the city. So MPS prepared you to work in your own hometown. I don't know what they're preparing you for now. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I am not here next week as I'm taking my remaining vacation days as a Good Karma Brands employee. I'll still be around, though. You know what I need to do next week? I need to pop on Kyle's show, Dr. Ken's show, and Tori's show if I can. If they'll have me. I was on the morning show this morning. I'd like to reminisce with my colleagues as we are going through a pretty significant transition. In fact, the transition that we are going through is as if not more significant than the transition that began 101.7 The Truth. So we are going to be a part of the Milwaukee Black Media Trust. It's an ambitious set of ideas to combine all black media under one roof. Here's what I hope. I just hope that we can get along. On paper, yeah, it might be probably a better idea. But personalities can be a mother father, I tell you what. So, you know, we'll see. I'll go into it optimistic. I'll be back in this studio, which is insane. I'll be working for a different company. Does that ever happen where you no longer work for a company, you go and work for a different company, but everything from the original company stays the same? Like, I'm going to be sitting in this exact same seat, same microphone, same studio. I don't know who the hell going to be in the producer studio. I'm not sure about that yet, but I guess we'll all find that out at the same time. the skill sets that young people need to be successful in the future, I don't know if that is a universal part of the curriculum, because in our very thorough and sometimes complicated and difficult discussions about education and education funding, like a lot of these gubernatorial candidates are going to talk about the funding flaw and we got to fund public education. Okay, cool. But what kind of education are we providing to the young people? I don't hear any of them say this very basic, simple thing. And it's not just for Milwaukee students. It's students all over the state of Wisconsin. However we fund the schools is up to people that make those kinds of decisions or elected to make those kinds of decisions. And I trust they will do their level best to execute those good decisions. But are we preparing young people for the world of work in the future? Or are we still preparing them to shut up, sit down, be on time? Because that's training somebody for factory work. We have a problem with truancy. And when I interviewed the superintendent, Brenda Caselius, I don't know, like a month ago, she made it clear. Now, she had her remarks prepared because there's certain things that she's got to get out to the public, certain things that we all may not know about what is happening inside the school district, things that don't make the news. And so she wanted to make sure she got that information out. But aside from the information that she wanted to share with us, she said it clear, plain as day. We have a truancy problem and the children and they're late all the time and the kids don't get to school. Okay, I get it. I can give a whole bunch of excuses as to why a child might be late or why they may not come to school at all. But if I look at it from a different perspective, the creative free thinker, the entrepreneur that has to think unconventionally and outside of the box may have a different concept of time. They may have an idea and creative sparks where they know what the idea is and they're starting to put together the building blocks of how to bring an idea to fruition. It could be a new product. It could be a new service. It could be business to business consulting, whatever the hell it is. They're not going to say, I need to begin thinking and writing things down at exactly 9 o'clock sharp. They're going to say, okay, here's my idea. I'm going to sketch out some of my concepts. I want to get it done this week. Or I need to get it done by the end of the day or by Tuesday. So if we focus on time and being on time, like that was really, really important when you had to, when the assembly line started at 9 a.m. sharp, you had to be there to put the bottles on the beer. You had to be very strict about time. And of course, there's a lot of discipline. Because if you have a lot of people working in a factory or working in manufacturing, everybody's got to have a level of discipline and you got to be on time. I think that we are still covertly training people to be factory workers when we need to start exploiting people's natural creative proclivities. Because that kind of work and that kind of strict adherence to time, now it's also smart and courteous to be on time, but the kind of creativity that we are going to need into the future, it's more about get the project done, get the task done. Give me my deadline. Tell me when this work needs to be done. If I can get it done today, cool, I'll get it done today. But if the task, whatever it is, the product, the service that I'm creating and building and going to distribute, if I need the week, then I need the week. But then the product or the service will be delivered. And so we have to look at the whole concept of even like the soft skills differently. Because right now, I don't believe that our young people, and this sells all of us short. Because if they are not getting the skill sets that they need to take advantage of future employment, then when we need a generation of people to be gainfully employed and paying into Social Security, assuming that Social Security even survives, we're screwing up and messing up our own futures, especially those of us that might want to retire one day. I don't even know what retirement even looks like. But if we are not training the young people now and giving them the necessary tools they need to take advantage of. You think AI is a problem now. By the year 2040, we won't recognize anything. The labor market over the next decade will likely reward people who can do three things simultaneously. I'm going to give you those three things. I'm going to take a little pause for the cause. One, work effectively with AI and automation. That's number one. Number two, solve problems AI cannot, and be able to solve those problems reliably and by yourself. And three, deliver high-value human interaction in a service-based economy. Have you all seen the decline of customer service over the years? At some point, that decline is going to have to reverse, because the kind of world and the kind of economy that we are going to have is really going to depend on the face-to-face, gentle, nice, you know, easy transactions when we're dealing with people face-to-face. Because guess what? If you're not providing that kind of service, your ass is going to get replaced with a machine. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
The evidence increasingly suggests that the highest earners will not necessarily be the best coders or the most credentialed workers. They will be the people who combine technical fluency with judgment, communication, adaptability, and leadership. Rhetorical question coming your way in 3, 2, 1. Is that a universal part of public and private and charter school curricula? Technical fluency with judgment, communication, adaptability, and leadership. All of those things can be in a school curriculum in every grade in an age-appropriate way. Let's talk to Andy here on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Listen, I'm on the road, but I just heard, are you leaving the station? What the heck is going on?
The station has been sold to the Milwaukee Black Media Trust, but the Milwaukee Black Media Trust that has purchased 101.7 The Truth is still going to operate out of these studios, so you will still hear me. I'll still be in the same location until further notice. I'm just not going to be here next week, as I'm taking my remaining vacation days as a Good Karma Brands employee. Does that make sense? Because I feel like I've said that a million times and everybody's like, sure, when you're leaving and never coming back? No, I'll be back Tuesday the 26th in the same place. Just, I'll have a different boss.
I don't mean to raise the alarm bells, but I don't like the sound of this. And you let me know, I'll come down with a sign, and I'll raise hell.
Don't do that. What would you raise hell about? Nothing's, as far as the listener's concerned, nothing's going to change. I'm still going to be out at the same time. I'm going to say it's probably some of the same usual topics you expect. It's just we have been purchased. It happens all the time in media. Stations get bought and sold every day.
So what you're saying is you're pulling back the curtain a little bit, and that's going to – I don't know. I don't like what I see, though. I don't like what I'm hearing. But, if you say it's all good, then I'll put away my markers.
Yeah, don't come down here. That's not necessary. No, don't do that.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt the show, but that last caller – said something about you putting on a bonnet and then you're leaving, and I was like, what the heck's going on? And I didn't like that at all.
Okay. Everything's fine. All right.
Okay, then. I don't want to interrupt your show. I feel like I did.
Carry on, sir. A little bit. Okay. All right, then. What last caller? Wasn't he the first call today? Did somebody else call? Okay, what's happening? What is the moon full? Like what? is going on? Is there any part of what I've said that has been unclear? I'm just not going to be here next week. I'm going to broadcast from my YouTube channel. I'm using my vacation days. I'm a Good Karma Brands employee right now. Next week would be my last week as a Good Karma Brands employee. I'm using my accrued vacation time. I'm not going to be here in the studio. I will come back to this same studio as an employee of the Milwaukee Black Media Trust. I'm fairly certain. I can say that with a reasonable level of confidence, but I'm still going to be on 101.7. The YouTube is going to be the same. All the social medias are going to be the same. Everything is going to be the same. Everybody relax. And as things change and information gets updated, I'll keep you posted over at Hughes Views 414 on YouTube. I just won't be here next week. Everybody else will be here. Maybe they won't. I don't know. Why are you asking me all these questions? I'm just a humble servant of the Lord. AI literacy and human AI collaboration. As much as we are resisting AI and as much as you hate it, because people always hate new technology. Because, you know, you want to know why people hate new stuff? Or I can speak for myself. Whenever something changes, because that means we might have to learn. And that sucks. Oh, man, I hate having to learn something new. That's awful. That's the worst thing ever. Learning is yuck. It's icky. That's what it is. We don't want to learn anything new. We just got used to how things were. And just when you're getting used to and you hit your stride, that's when everything changes. And I'm starting to see the trepidation now. Like, so the AI data centers, and of course, there's some environmental risk when it comes to those. But this is literally where the world is going. If you read any, like, timely articles or periodicals from other major monumental shifts in the American, like, workforce and American culture. So the automobile, beautiful example. So we were a horse and buggy country. People had horses. Horses pulled stuff. Horses and donkeys, they plowed the fields. That was a large part of American transportation and labor. And so when the first automobile started to appear, do you know that people sounded the exact same way? Those things won't last. Automobiles? Well, that's simply ridiculous. Who's going to pay for something like that? I'm going to stick with my horse. There were literally people that said the automobile would not last because they didn't want to have to get used to operating a different mode of transportation. So every time there's a new technology, there's always people that resist it. And I understand we don't want to have to adapt to something new. But if you are unable to adapt to these new technologies, obviously no one is going to make you. But your economic future is going to be tied into how quickly you accept them and be able to manipulate them to your favor. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour two.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.